Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Give me one second. I lost my sheet.
No, take your time.
Just trying to get your resos done. Hold on. Courtney, I lost my sheet. My vote sheet. Thank you. Okay, thank goodness Courtney's here. Okay, Mr. Weissman? Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount? Mr. Hidaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
Mr. Roy is here.
Thanks, Roy.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and justice for all.
Mr. Canales, do we have any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, we have quite a few changes. The application of Jimenez on Mitchell Avenue has been withdrawn and will not be heard. The Sony application, Hamilton Boulevard, is adjourned until September 18th, 2025, with no further notice. Delton Black is adjourned. South 2nd Street is adjourned until September 18th, with no further notice. The Lopez application, Howard Street, adjourned until September 25th, with no further notice. The MENA application, Old New Brunswick Road, is adjourned until September 25th. They must notice. The Rouse application on Southwest Court is adjourned until October 9th. They must notice. Finally, Venture Act, Hose Lane, is adjourned until September 25th. No further notice. Those are all the changes I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Let's move on to item number 725-ZB-51V, Vipul Patel.
Is Vipul Patel present? Is Vipul Patel present? Laura, do you see the applicant?
No, I do not. Just go to number 8.
Got it.
I think he is here. It's at the meets on me.
I am. Oh, yes.
Oh, he just muted himself. Wait, he's back.
Okay. Are you Vipul Patel?
Hit unmute. You muted again.
Yes, Vipul Patel.
Don't touch. Dave,
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Vipul Patel, 11 Christopher Court, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Put your hand down and explain to the board why you're here.
I didn't understand you, sir.
Explain to the board why you're here. Why are you before the board?
I want to put the fence on my property.
Okay. Jonathan, you have some comments on this, sir?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Patel, have you read the staff report dated June 11th?
June 11th, yes.
Do you agree with all the terms of that staff report?
Yes, sir.
And you understand that no fence permit will be approved until a memorandum of restriction is recorded?
What is that means?
Item 4 on the report, it states that if the township needs to access the easement, you will encumber all costs associated with the removal and replacement of the fence or anything else you have within the easement area. So it's a document that says that you agree to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
No further comments or questions. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Hey, Laura, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Thanks. Call the roll.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio? Roy's here. Mr. Blount? Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good night, Mr. Patel.
Chairman, Mr. Weissman's trying to get on. He's having a connection problem.
Okay, just let us know when he gets in.
I shall. Thank you.
In the meantime, let's move on to item number 825-ZB-22V, Stephen Edens.
Is Stephen Edens present?
Yes.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Stephen L. Eden, 1 Vogel Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here?
Because of my fence and a shed. I'm requesting a variance on it, I guess.
Okay. Hey, Jonathan, you have some comments about this one as well?
Yes. So similarly, have you read the May 22nd staff report memorandum?
Yes.
Okay. Do you agree with all the terms of that report?
Yes.
Including that the shed be removed, the fence along William Street be brought in 15 feet from the property line, not the curb, the property line, and the fence along Vogel will be brought in with the in line with the garage.
I would like not to have to do that. I would request that the fence remain where it is in the shed also.
The fence is required to be 25 feet from the property line, so 15 feet is a good compromise. It's more than half.
We could insist on the original. We're trying to compromise here and make it work for both parties here.
So you're requesting that you're ordering that the fence be brought in 15 feet from the curb?
From the property line.
From the property line. I don't think I have that much property.
It would result in the fence being 20 scale.
It's only been there since 1983. I know that doesn't matter, but it's been there since 1983.
On the back corner of your house, it would give you about 10 feet from the corner of your house to the fence line along William Street.
What if I just took the front portion down and put a 4-foot fence up?
You would be allowed to do that.
Okay, well, I guess that's what I have to do. What would I be doing, just the front? Or what portion would I have to drop it down to 4 feet?
The portion in front of the garage along Vogel and the portion along the side of the house that fronts the intersection of William and Vogel.
Okay.
What about the shed, Jonathan?
The shed should be removed. You're way over on your building coverage.
Shed has to be removed.
By when?
We can, when you come in for the fence permit, we can agree to a term that's suitable for you.
Chairman, it has to be in the resolution when we have to do this because we have
90 days agreeable.
Could be 90 days, 120 days.
90 days.
What about 180 days? I've just had major surgery and unable to do a whole lot of things right now. I had a triple bypass. My wife's recovering from cancer.
180 is agreeable.
Yeah, 6 months is fine, Mr. Edens. We can do that.
Okay.
All right.
The fence needs to be brought to 4 feet.
The front of the fence needs to be 4 feet, right?
About William Street.
William, yes. Street side.
And Vogel.
As it is, just the front portion, 4 feet.
The front along William and the front along Vogel.
So that's the L shapes.
Okay, so the L shape running down William Street has to be dropped to 4 feet. The whole thing, really the whole thing has to be 4 feet then, right?
Yes, it's a small property, so yes.
But Jonathan, does it have to be 50%? It can't be solid, correct?
If he wants to ask for solid, he can, but he wouldn't need the variance for 50%.
Well, yeah. So just so we know when he comes in, what he's going for, can he do the 4 foot solid?
Mr. Edens, are you doing 4 foot solid or 50%?
Yeah, 4 foot.
Yeah, 4 foot solid. I would hope to do.
Okay, we can live with that.
No further questions.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public, including children and babies, if they have any comments or questions?
Are you able to put a regular size, a 9 foot?
Anything, Laura?
9.
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application amended through Jonathan's comments. Can I get a second? Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Here. Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application as amended has been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and we'll mail that document to you. Good luck.
Good night, Mr. Edens. Move on to item number 10, 25-ZB-57B. Amitava Roy?
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Roy, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, only truth. Nothing but truth.
Thank you. Explain to the board why you're here.
Yeah, I'm here for, I requested for a, to construct a roof over my porch, front porch, in front of the front door. So we need this roof. We would like to have, especially during rain and snow, so that you can step out of the house. And during snow, sometimes the porch becomes icy and it's a hazardous situation.
Sure.
So I need to have the roof. Another thing is that anytime I have a home delivery from Amazon or Walmart or Home Depot, the item will be lying on the open, in the open. And if it rains and something, you know, so I would like to have this porch built, the roof built on top of existing front porch.
Understood, sir. Very valid ideas there. So, Jonathan, do you have any comments on this as well, sir?
Yes. Since Mr. Roy has received prior front yard setback variances, and a conversation that I had with Mr. Roy prior to this meeting, we're going to ask that the covering over the front entrance be 4 feet deep instead of the 5 that's being requested. 4 feet's in line with what's there existing, so it's more so just covering what's there now rather than expanding and covering. Is that agreeable, Mr. Roy?
Yeah, actually, right now it is from the property line 30. If you do 5 feet, it's from the property line, it's 33.8 feet. And the dwelling is 38.8 from the property line. So if I do 4 feet, then it will be 34.8. And if I do 5 feet, then it will be 33.8 feet. I would prefer 5 feet, but, you know, it's up to you, you know.
Okay, if you agree to 4 feet, we're agreeable to that.
Yeah, I think we can move ahead with this, Mr. Roy, if you agree to 4 foot footprint.
Chairman, show the record that Mr. Blount has joined us.
Okay.
Before this one, so he could vote.
Right. And I see Mr. Weissman's on as well.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Roy, are we agreeable with the 4 foot footprint?
Yeah, the 5 foot will not be allowed or what? No.
It's recommended that we go with the 4 foot, and I can guarantee you a very good outcome on our vote if you go with the 4 foot.
Okay.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments for this applicant? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions for this application?
I have one.
Oh, sure.
Couldn't you said the foot?
Hold on.
Yeah, the 4 foot.
Hold on. Hold on. You need to identify yourself.
Oh, okay.
And I need to swear you in.
My name. Okay. What do you?
What's your name, sir?
Alonzo Bryant.
And your address?
6 Jersey Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Could you raise your right hand? I need to swear you in.
Sure.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, definitely the truth.
Go ahead with your question or comment, sir.
My comment was, is the gentleman in question, is he aware that the 4-foot footprint is just the concrete on the ground? The roof could stick out 5 foot? Because, I mean, I think he's worried about the overhang. The footprint is a concrete base. If he wants the overhang slightly bigger, that's not part of the foundation. So he should be able to get that, right?
It's not the recommendation that we're getting from our engineering department.
For engineering is called, always calls the footprint the building itself, right?
I called it the footprint of the porch that he's trying to cover.
We have the drawings that were submitted as part of this application. It's showing 5 feet.
For the footprint or for the roof?
For the roof.
The porch is 4 feet.
Right.
Four feet width for porch. But the roof can be 1 feet more than the porch. That's right.
We're proposing that it covers the footprint of the porch at 4 feet. That's what we're promoting.
The roof has to be 4 feet just right above the porch.
If you agree on that, we can move forward.
Okay. One more thing, but don't most homes, every home actually out here, don't they all roofs all overhang the footprint?
You're talking about the roofs on the actual structure? You're talking about a porch roof. The porch roof doesn't necessarily grow out further, no.
No, the roof on every foundation out here extends past the foundation.
Mr. Bryant, this
if they don't need a front yard setback variance, that's fine. This application needs a front yard setback variance. That's why this applicant...
Mm-hmm. And they previously were granted a front yard setback, so we are not granting further relief from that front yard setback.
Understood.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for your comments. Laura, anyone else in the public portion?
No, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application with the 4-foot roof.
I'll second it.
Can I get a call? Roll call.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application's been approved as amended. We'll memorialize it at our next meeting and send a copy to you. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Roy.
Thank you.
Move on to item number 11, 25-ZB-52V, Alonzo Bryant. Right back in the game. Take yourself off mute, sir.
Okay.
There you go. You're good to go.
It may seem ridiculous, but I have to swear you in again. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, absolute truth.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here?
Yes. I can show you. We need an air condition on my building because it has water in it. I have a bathroom and I need to keep the water pipe. It's a HVAC system I'm putting in because it's my workshop. And we want to bring the air condition on this side of the fence, which would leave me supposed to be 10 feet. It'd only leave me 8 foot from the fence. But my fence, as you can see, is a 6-foot fence. It goes all the way around. And my neighbor next to me has no problem with it.
Okay.
So that's
understood. Jonathan, do you want
to? Yeah, what's the nature of the workshop?
Well, the nature of the workshop is first for me, I'm a contractor. And second off is because we have a dog, right? And my wife does not want the dog taking a bath in the house. So the original reason I even built the building to begin with is because she wants my daughter takes care of the dog and she wants the hair out of our tub. So I built the building so that with the dog shower in it, you know, so we wash the dog to take the dog out back and do it. And I was like, well, since I'm in it, I already had a shed because that's already on my permit. You'll see that. I just extended this to allow space for her to work and me still have my workshop. I do a lot of, you know, different miscellaneous hobbies.
Okay. And we recognize that conversion did happen in 2019. You listed it as a proposed cabana to accompany a pool. There's no pool on the property, correct?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So this structure being used as a workshop kind of extends beyond what a cabana would be used for. It sounds like you're also using it for your business, which is not permitted.
No, it's not for my business. I have my truck and I have a shop. That's my hobbies. That what I do is, you know, I fix things. I just do it because that's what I can do. I'm not getting paid for that. That's like everything my wife wants rather than me tearing up my house with, you know, how much tools I have because of I am a tradesman.
So you're not operating a business out of that?
Oh, no, I'm definitely not.
Okay. Okay. And there's no other way you can move this HVAC equipment to the other side of the structure?
See, now, I personally wanted to put it on the other side of the structure, but I ran into a problem with my wife. She was saying that if you notice my property itself, right behind my house, I have two air conditioners feeding my existing house. And the air conditioners are not, I mean, they're right next to my patio, my deck. And my wife claims that when they cut on and we have company, she's on the deck, it makes a lot of noise. That's those two. If I put this air conditioner on the same side of the building, it'll be pretty much close to these two. And then she's going to complain it up. So that was the only reason I even, you know, went out with this extra $500 to try to ask for this variance. Because, you know, I'm putting a lot of work in. I have to make an effort to try to please her as well.
Understood, sir. We're a bunch of us are married, so we all know.
Would you agree to a deed restriction that this won't be used for any form of occupancy or business?
They've already given me. You gave me that for my first when y'all first approved the building. So yes, I agree to it. It's already in writing. Y'all gave me a memo with that already on it. This can never be used as an occupancy.
All right, and I'll hold any other comments if there's neighbors that come out.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, the same thing. Let's open it to the public and find out if he has any neighbors that have any issues with this. First and foremost, does anyone else on the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any comments or questions?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. Yeah. And Jonathan, with no comments from the public, I'm going to go ahead and approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
All right.
I have something to say.
Yes.
The porch in length is 8 feet, but from the door is not centrally placed. It's not in the center. So one side in the porch, I might have to increase 1 feet or 2 feet. This is, I'm talking about the length, not the width. Width will be four feet. Okay. Width will be 4 feet.
Mr. Chairman, we're done with that application.
Yeah, Mr. Roy, we already took the vote on that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
No, that's fine. And again, we have to be on this Zoom call. You can go enjoy your evening if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, Laura, give me a roll call on the Mr. Bryant.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Bryant, your application has been approved. We'll memorialize this in a written document in our next meeting, and we'll mail that document to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good night, sir. Let's move on to item number 12, 25-ZB-26V. Heather Pham.
Is Heather Pham present?
I'm going to be honest, probably not.
You don't see her, Laura?
No, well, they have a friend helping them with this, and communication is very difficult, to say the least. They did notice.
Well, let's skip.
So and we'll skip them, and by the end, if not, we'll push them to the next meeting.
Got it. Let's go on to item number 13, 25-ZB-23, Muslim Center of Middlesex County. Mr. Arch here?
Davin's going to do this one.
Oh, okay. Is he on?
Yes. David.
Okay. Apologize. I couldn't figure out how to get it unmuted.
That kind of day.
Good evening, Board Chair, members of the board. David Prasad from Bob Smith & Associates here tonight for the application for the Muslim Center of Middlesex County, MCMC. It is a final major subdivision application. The property is located on 1000 Hose Lane East, Piscataway, New Jersey, block 12201, lots 3, 4, and 9.03. As I said before, we are looking for a final major subdivision. The board had granted a preliminary major subdivision in October of 2020. And I would like to tell the board that all the conditions of the preliminary approval have been met. So we are seeking tonight the final approval for the subdivision and then the consolidation of all the lots into new lot 9.04. As the board is aware, we do not get scheduled for final major subdivisions unless all the conditions of preliminary are met. But just in case there are any questions, I do have our engineer, Mr. Sharif Ali, present to answer any questions of the board or if there's anything that comes up regarding the preliminary approval. So with that, I welcome any questions or confirmations needed by the board members or professionals to Mr. Sharif Ali. And that's all I have for this application. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Jonathan, you have any comments on this one?
No, thank you.
Fair enough. If all the conditions had been met that was set forth prior, I don't think we have a problem with this. Does anyone on the board have any questions or comments about proceeding? Hearing none, I'll open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application or this final? None? Okay. Yeah, I'd make a motion to approve this final subdivision. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
You get a vote?
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
We'll memorialize this in our next meeting and send you a copy to you.
Thank you, board members. I will be on here for another application later on.
We'll see you in a couple of minutes then. Let's move on to item number 16, 25-ZB-60B, Hira Gilani.
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Sure.
I got
it. You swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth.
Thanks.
I swear.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
Hira Gilani, 519 Linwood Street, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here?
Sure. I'm installing fence and I want to request for variance. I want to appeal for 10 feet off the property line along Buttonwood Street. I have a 18-month-old toddler and a severely autistic, nonverbal 5-year-old son who has elopement risk and no safety awareness. The reason I'm putting the fence is because of my son's safety. I cannot take my son to public parks because it's not gated. He runs away from me and it's like a marathon. I cannot take him to most places because people look at him weird and he gets very overstimulated. I want to appeal for more space because I don't really have a backyard. I have a side yard. I just want enough safe space for him where he can just run freely and I can have space for a outdoor sensory gym for him. And also, if I'm spending money on fence, I would rather have more space for my son. My neighbors are aware, the one I share backyard with, and they're okay with it. If necessary, I can absolutely provide doctor's note if it's needed.
Okay. Jonathan, you have anything on this application, sir?
40 feet is required from Buttonwood. So staff is requesting 20 feet from the property line where 40 is required.
Terry, you understand we're trying to come to a compromise?
I completely understand. I really, really appreciate it. It's just that I would like to appeal for more space if I can get 10 feet off the property line, just for his sake. I really need it for him.
So that would, the proposal of moving it back 10 feet would reduce the area by about 600 square feet. So, I mean, we could do
15?
We could do 15.
here. Is that okay? More than a compromise. 15 is, you know, we're bending over backwards because of the situation your family's in.
Sure.
I can give you a pretty much a good guarantee that you'll have a positive outcome if you agree on the 15.
15 feet off Buttonwood property line?
Yes. So 15 feet off the property line is about 25 feet off of the curb. Or about 17 feet from the back of the sidewalk, if that helps.
Okay, and even with medical documentation, I cannot have 10 feet off the property line, even if I provide doctor's note.
Unfortunately, here it sets a precedent, and even your neighbors who don't have situation that you're in technically could come in and ask for the same request.
Okay.
So sure. I think that if you can live with the 15, it's more than generous, and I think you'd be very happy with it. I know
your
patience, and I feel for your position.
Sure.
But I think 15, everyone it will be happy at this situation.
Sure. Then awesome. I'll take that.
Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'd like to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application? Laura?
I have a James Grogan. Gogan?
Yes.
Sorry, Wynn, could you raise your right hand?
My question is,
lower your computer down, you're echoing.
Sir, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Oh, it's raised.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth?
Yes.
Could I have your name and address, please?
James Gagan, 9 Hedgerow Street, Skagway.
Thank you. Go ahead with your question or comment.
So the Linwood Street is one of the two main entrance and exits out of this development. And I just want to make sure that this fence is not going to go anywhere near the front yard at all, because that'll block the area when you're trying to turn to see whether any cars are coming.
Mr. Misrazi, how many feet is it going to be from the curb approximately?
From the curb will be about
on the side street.
On Buttonwood, it's going to be
probably about 18 to 20 feet with the right of way.
About 25 feet.
Oh, even more.
Okay. From the curb on Buttonwood.
Okay, so no issues with line of sight.
Correct.
Okay. You okay, Mr. Gill?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Have a good night. Anyone else, Laura?
No, sir.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Call the roll.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone.
You're welcome. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application as amended has been approved. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck, ma'am. Let's move on to item number 17, Shailesh and Sonal Patel.
Yes, hello.
Sonal Patel, okay, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you give shall be the truth?
Sure, yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Shailesh and Sonal Patel, 9 Lucille Court, Piscataway.
Thank you. Could you explain why you're before the board?
So we are planning to put a fence around our property, and a lot of deer issue lately, and eating all the vegetation and vegetables we are growing. And that creates a lot of nuisance. Also, probably some health issues they are creating. We get on a regular basis like 12 to 15 deers, and sometimes they just hunker around in the backyard, and a lot of damage to the vegetation also, as probably they are pooping all over.
Yeah.
So it has really become a hazard issue now. And also we also want to have some privacy probably.
Understood, Mr. Patel. Thank you for clarifying.
Mr. Chairman, their fence is in an easement. That's the reason that they're here.
Right. So, John, what's the language they need to know before we proceed?
We need to know how tall these fences are. You denote a vinyl and a chain link.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What are the heights of the proposed fences?
So proposed fence is 6 feet vinyl up to the easement, township easement we have, or probably half feet before. And then we are going to put, as the plan or the application we have submitted, we are going to put a 16 feet gate for the opening. And then the remaining is the chain link. The gate also will be of chain link.
What's the height of the chain link fence?
Chain link would also be 6 feet.
Okay.
So it's gonna be 16 feet wide.
Yes. Sorry, the gate shown on the plans. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. So do you agree to a memorandum of restriction regarding the easement? Where you will assume all costs associated with the removal and replacement of the fence, which by putting in the gate you pretty much avoid, but would you agree to entering a memorandum of restriction?
So to understand, even we put a gate, you know, is that a responsibility for us?
They'll just use the gate, but if you sign the legal document, it covers all parties. So they'll just use the gate.
Yes. So yeah, we are fine. And that is why we are putting the gate, because of the easement, right?
Perfect. Yes. Very smart move, sir. Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize this in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much, board, and everybody.
Good night, sir.
Thank you.
Good night. Item 18, 25-ZB-61V, Gordon Aquira. You're muted, sir. There you go.
Thank you.
Sir, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Your name and address, please. You put your hand down.
Gordon Aquara, 516 Shirley Parkway, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Could you explain to the board why you're here?
Yes. Yeah, so I bought a house about 2 years ago. I installed on an AC that wasn't working, and it's 6 feet away from the property line. And I'm asking for a variance because it's meant to be 10 feet away from the property line.
Okay, Ms. Rahim.
So to clarify, the AC unit is installed now. It's not proposed. It's currently there.
It's currently there. Yes.
Okay. And I'm assuming it'd be a substantial hardship to relocate it.
Correct. And the house is a rental. There's two kids there, 4 and 5 years old. And where it's located, it's very isolated. So if I'm to move it to the back, I think there'd be some safety issues. And there's very limited places I could put it in the backyard.
Okay.
Okay. You are going to be required to screen it with either fencing or landscaping from the frontage of the property, as well as your neighbor to the side. I know when you first came in, there was a question about the easement on the side where the AC unit is. I would consider having that be implemented or perfected so that way it's recorded properly. But as it is right now on the revised survey, you are not inside that easement. So just the screening, and that's all I have, Mr.
Thank you, Jonathan. Mr. Aquira, you're okay with the screening and the
I am. Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Second. Thanks. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application's been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll mail that document to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Have a good night, sir. I think we're moving on to item number 22-25-ZB-31/32V, MSN Pharmaceuticals, Inc.
Good evening again, board members. David Prasad from Bob Smith and Associates here tonight representing the applicant MSN Pharmaceuticals for application 25ZB32V. Tonight we are seeking preliminary and final site plan approval with a D6 height variance pursuant to 40:55D70-70D6. The applicant tonight is proposing to expand the existing warehouse building and also proposing to extend the height of the building or a portion of the building from where 50 feet is permitted to 70 feet. The purpose of that 70-foot height variance is for an inventory conveyor system, as I mentioned, and for additional storage space. Currently, the property is utilized by MSN Pharmaceuticals as a pharmaceutical manufacturing and distribution facility with offices. There's also warehouse space for storage. The property was purchased by MSN Pharmaceuticals in 2017, and in that same year, they received planning board approval under application 17PB34 to convert the use from warehousing solely to pharmaceutical manufacturing and distribution. The site has frontage on Duke Road, and also at the rear of the property or the south side of the property, there is Route 287, and there is substantial buffering between 287 and the property as well. In addition to the D variances and the preliminary and final site plan application, we are seeking some bulk variances. One is for off-street parking, where 653 spaces are required and 206 are proposed. We are seeking a variance for the minimum number of loading berths required, where 12 berths are required, 3 are existing, and 8 are currently proposed for total for this application, increasing the number of berths. And finally, we are seeking a minimum drive aisle width, where 25 feet is required and 24 feet is existing. This is highlighted in numerous approvals for this property all the way back to, I think, 2011. Tonight, we have a number of witnesses and professionals. I have the applicant or a representative for the applicant here, Mr. Vishnu Arapapaya from MSN Pharmaceuticals. I have our engineer, Robert Murray, who is from Menlo Engineering. I have the architect, Ms. Sushita Shaw from KSD Architects. And I have a traffic engineer, Mr. John Ray from McDonough & Ray Associates. And finally, the professional planner, Ms. Christine Caffone from Caffone Consulting Group. For the record, I also like to mention that we do have 3 staff reports from the township. We have the Piscataway Township staff report dated July 1st, 2025. We have the John T. Chadwick planning report dated July 16th, 2025. And we also have a Dolan and Dean report, which we received recently dated August 12th, 2025. That is all that I have. I would like to call my first witness, Mr. Arapapaya from MSN Pharmaceuticals, if the board can swear him in.
Please proceed.
Sir, could you raise your right hand, please? Mr. Arapapia, could you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Vishnuvardhan Arapapaya, MSN Pharmaceuticals, 20 Duke Road, Piscataway, New Jersey 08854.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally.
Yeah.
Mr. Arapapaya, can you please describe your role and relationship to MSN Pharmaceuticals, Inc., please?
Definitely, Mr. Devin. So I take care of engineering and facilities at MSN Pharmaceuticals. I'm being with MSN Pharmaceuticals from 2022. I used to work for MSN in India before I come here.
So overall, you've been working for MSN for quite some time, just recently in Piscataway.
That's correct.
Can you tell the board how long MSN has been located in Piscataway, New Jersey?
Yeah, MSN purchased this property in 2017, as you mentioned earlier. And the same year, we received planning board approval to convert the building into pharmaceutical manufacturing and distribution center.
And you want to continue your business in Piscataway. Can you please let the board know why you would choose Piscataway, New Jersey?
Yeah, Piscataway is actually a great town for a business and to grow. Our particular location is perfectly suited for MSN, where we are surrounded by all industries and minimum residential involvement limited. Also, the proximity, our building is right next to the 287. It allows our business to minimize travel time and limit traffic in town.
Okay. And the nature of the business, again, is pharmaceutical manufacturing and distribution, correct?
That is correct.
Can you please let us know what the hours of operations are for the business?
We're operating from 6:30 a.m. To 11 p.m.
And that is Monday through Friday?
Yeah, Monday to Friday. That's correct.
How many employees do you currently employ at this location?
Currently, we have 110 employees in the site. When we expand our building, we may extend like another 30 more employees we will report.
Okay.
So altogether, 140.
Okay. Can you explain the reason that we are seeking a 70-foot D6 height variance as opposed to 50?
Yeah, MSN would like to install the state auto of the automatic storage and retrieval system. It's basically operated by robots. We store all our products into the racks. It's a high height racks. So the robots, we call the material, particular material, the robot will pick up and it will bring it to the particular pickup location and pack location where our employee can pack for the delivery.
And you said the racks are high and that that requires robots to utilize to retrieve the pallets.
It's a fully automated storage and retrieval system.
Understood. For the board, can you explain why the additional storage space and the automated system is proposed?
See, currently, whatever products we manufacture at this site, also the parent company MSN Laboratories Private Limited in India, we are using third-party warehouse where we are storing all our products. So instead of buying a new property or constructing a new warehouse, we feel like having everything in one place at this site, it's easy for us to increase our efficiency. Also, instead of, I don't know how the residents locally will take if we construct the new facility, it's better to have all in one house. That's why we feel this will be beneficial to the town as well as MSN to extend this building to suit our needs.
So just to clarify for the board, it seems, and as we all know, warehousing is not a great business model in Piscataway at the time or anywhere in New Jersey. So it's true that you are expanding your warehouse to avoid building another, is that correct?
That's correct.
Currently, can you explain how many deliveries by truck you receive per day?
Approximately three to four trucks are delivered.
Okay, and with the proposed expansion of this facility, how many trucks are you expected to increase?
We are expecting 8 to 10, which includes 3 to 4 inbound and 4 to 6 outbound.
Okay. Also, your site is, as you mentioned, closes at 10 p.m. How many are the lights on in the facility around the parking and around the building until 11 p.m., or is it they remain on?
Currently, the light remain on throughout the night until morning.
Okay. And if we can, I would like to address some of the items on the staff reports. First item would be item number 3 on the Piscataway Township staff report. Can we agree for all EV charging stations to be operational at the time a CEO was granted?
Yes.
Okay. Item number 5 on the Piscataway Township staff report, can MSN install the fiber optic conduits along the property frontage?
Yes, agreed.
And finally, for the John T. Chadwick planning report, item number 8, it is a concern for the township that the lights remain on 24/7. Is it possible that we can turn the lights off during non-business hours?
It's possible, yes.
That is all the questions I have for this witness, if the board does have any questions.
Jonathan, do you want to address each expert each time, professional, I should say? What do you want to wait till the end to surmise?
I can do it as they come up, so it's all fresh.
Perfect.
That's okay.
Proceed.
So, my question is regarding the retrieval system. I'm assuming something this state of the art is modular in nature. It's going to be custom fabricated for the space.
That is correct, Jonathan.
So why can't we come down in height for the expansion? Why does it have to be 70 feet?
Basically, the number of pallets, we have limited space. The pallets are high, numbers are high. So we wanted to go high to increase the number of pallets we can store.
And this is for a increase in capacity for future expansion, or is this based on an existing need?
It's for the future expansion as well as existing need, both.
Okay. I do have questions that I'm going to save for other professionals. But if it's for future need and it's not an immediate, if it's not for the immediate operations of the business, it's modular in nature, I would want to see it reduced in height.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. Mr. Prasad, please put on your next professional.
Sure. For my next witness, I do have Mr. Robert Murray.
Hold on, John.
Yeah, I don't know whether this is to the representative or not. Are you planning to put any signage on this building?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please, sir?
Are you planning to put any signage on this building?
Existing signages are sufficient for us now.
So there's no signage proposed on this new building?
We have already signage at the front and back of the building.
So that's going to remain the same?
Yes.
Remain the same, correct.
Got it. Okay.
And you commented on the lighting. It happens to be item 7, just for the record. And the colors of the building, I assume that's an architect's response? Okay.
Thank you, John.
And just one other thing. Do you know if there's anything on the top of the roof, or is that, again, the architect?
The architect will address that as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. For the next witness, I have Mr. Robert Murray from Menlo Engineering, if the board can swear him in.
Mr. Murray, are you present?
Yes.
Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
I swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
Robert Murray, 261 Cleveland Avenue, Highland Park, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Robert, can you please give the board the benefits of your qualifications?
Yes. I graduated Stevens Institute of Technology in 2017 with a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. I've been a professional engineer for 4 years now, and I provided testimony in front of numerous boards in New Jersey, including Piscataway.
And your license is current and in good standing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Qualifications are fine. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Murray, if you can please explain to the board the current layout, the proposed layout, and other engineering factors that are taking place in the site improvements, if you don't mind.
Yes. If I can present our existing conditions exhibit.
And we can mark that as A1.
Can everyone see?
Yes.
Thank you. Which this is an aerial photograph of the site and its surrounding areas. And just to orientate my drawings tonight, north is up. The property better known as 22 Grode is lot 10.01, a block 4302 in Piscataway Township. The site is located south of Duke Road, west of Freeway Drive, and north of 287. Access is provided off both Duke Road and Freeway Drive. Overall, the property is approximately 15.48 acres and is located entirely within the LI5 light industrial zone. The site is also surrounded by industrial uses within the LI5 zone. As it exists today, the site is currently a 236,851 square foot industrial building with 33.5 feet in height. This includes office, warehouse, manufacturing, and lab. Also, the site has an existing 1,125 square foot accessory building, which is currently not being used. The site currently has 402 spaces along the south and the west side, and three existing loading spaces on the east side of the building. Now, if I could present our overall plan exhibit, which is a colorized rendering of the submitted site overall plan with the aerial background and landscape turn on. The applicant is proposing a 55,477 square foot warehouse addition with an 88,984 square foot roof extension to 70 foot in height. The applicant seeks to demolish the existing accessory building and a portion of the parking to the south of the building. The proposed conditions will have 206 spaces, with 653 is required, 8 of which are EV spaces and 7 of which are ADA spaces. The spaces will be 9 by 18. The site has an existing nonconformity of a 24-foot aisle width, but the applicant is proposing a 30-foot width to the south of the proposed addition. Site improvements also include a 5-foot sidewalk, crosswalk, and ADA-compliant ramps on the south end of the building. The site will utilize existing utilities, and other improvements include lighting and landscaping. For landscaping, 17 trees are removed. However, 22 deciduous trees are provided, which meets the Piscataway Township ordinance. The site will utilize existing lighting with the addition of two wall-mounted LED fixtures approximately 22 feet high. This will provide a minimum of 0.5 foot candles and an average of 2.3 in the parking area, and provide safe and adequate lighting meeting township standards. The site is considered a major development since it disturbs over an acre of land. Therefore, stormwater management is required. The site will accomplish stormwater management by maintaining the amount of impervious coverage for quantity and recharge requirements, and reducing motorized vehicle surface to satisfy the water quality regs. Existing nonconformity of the site include loading, where 8 is provided, but only 12 are required. Parking aisle width, where 24 exists, where 25 is required. Parking variance, where 206 spaces are provided, where 653 are required. Variance include the building height, where 50 feet is required, where 70 is proposed. I also have read the professional's letters, and I have no problem with satisfying the comments. However, I do want to draw attention to two of the comments on Dolan and Dolan's letter from August 12th. Comment SP2, the operation will have a WB67 tractor trailer. And comment SP4, the comment asks whether circulation can be maintained with a 60-foot long loading space. The operation of the site will have the first tractor trailer to come on site to load in the southernmost bay, and all others following will take the next one north. After parking the tractor trailer, the cab will be detached and parked on site Therefore, circulation will be maintained. However, if the board looks favorable on this application, we can work with the board's professionals to satisfy any comments they have on trailer movement. And that concludes my portion of the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. I have no direct questions as you address the Dolan and Dean report. It's up to the board, to the board professionals. Is there any other questions for Mr. Murray?
Yeah, I was wondering if Jonathan wanted to jump in on this too.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. I'm definitely going to want a truck turning diagram showing. It's fine if you want to show just the trailer parked in one of the bays, but I want to see the ability of a fire truck as well as another delivery truck being able to access these bays with the trailer being stored in the bay. So that's something that we're going to want to see, because I have some serious concerns about circulation, especially for emergency vehicles, if any of those bays are being used. I'm okay with the pre-existing nonconformity with the aisles. The parking, I just want to highlight the traffic engineer's report. About 140 spaces are estimated to be used, where 200 spaces are being proposed. And those were my main points. Thank you for addressing all the comments otherwise.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments for Mr. Murray?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
No, jump in, sir.
There's that small building in the back. One plan shows it remaining the architectural plan, and your plan shows it, Mr. Murray, removed. Who's right?
The accessory building will be removed, and we can revise plans to be consistent.
Fine. And there was one other item. Are you involved with a lighting plan, and can these lights be extinguished during non-business hours, but for security lighting?
Yes, as the applicant explained, we can comply with your comments on lighting.
I wasn't sure if you did or not, but that's fine.
And just to piggyback off of that, John, can we add shielding to the lights along the parking lot with the adjacent building on Duke? Okay, great.
That it, John?
That's it.
Thank you, sir. Any other members of the board?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Betsy Dolan, Dolan and Dean. I just wanted to echo Jonathan's comments about the vehicle circulation. I did have some offline dialogue with Mr. Murray, but I agree that those template diagrams should be submitted. And I'm fine with the parking variance. I ran ITE numbers, and I think the analysis by McDonough Ray, which you're going to hear probably next, I'm satisfied with. But I agree the circulation exhibit should be provided.
Great, great. Thank you, Betsy.
You're welcome.
Devin, you can proceed with your next professional.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Ray is not next. I do have the architect up next to address some of the other comments and to give you some renderings of the building. So if I can call Ms. Shushita Shaw from KSD Architects and have her sworn in.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Excuse me a second. Ms. Murray, can you unshare your screen, please?
Yeah, I'm trying to find where the button is. No problem. I'm sorry.
Well, while we're doing that, Ms. Shaw, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
Sure. Suchita Shah, spelled S-U-C-H-I-T-A, Shah, S-H-A-H. Address is 1 Liberty Way in Cranberry, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Ms. Shah, if you can please give the board the benefit of your qualifications and whether your license is current and in good standing.
Sure thing. I am a registered licensed architect in New Jersey, as well as 10 other states. I was a graduate of Pratt Institute with a Bachelor of Architecture in 2013. And I have presented or testified in front of at least 20 boards. I haven't kept count.
Qualifications are acceptable. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Shaw, if you can please describe the building modifications that we are seeking, including the height, and also if you can address the comments on Mr. Chadwick's report regarding the mechanical equipment and the additional signage and also the color palette.
Sure thing. I'm going to share my screen. Can everybody see the photo?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. So this is just to show what's existing on the site at the moment. I was lucky enough to be with KSD Architects at the time of the 2017 alterations inside this building, and glad to be kind of on the team again.
One second, no.
Yes. Sorry, was there a question?
No, I think that was it's okay. Please proceed, Ms. Shaw.
Okay, all right. So this is the existing site aerial view. And I will go over the plan first. Just give it a second to load, please. Okay, so this is, we're looking at, sorry, let's start from here. SK1, dated February 15, 2025. Completed by KSD Architects. This is an existing building expansion plan showing the building as is in the hatched markings here. It's about 236,000 square feet. We are proposing two additions, one on the south side of the building and one to the northeast side of the building, as was described. And I will go to the next slide here to SK2 to show you kind of the different roof levels that are proposed. So all the hatch, diagonal hatch markings that you see are existing to remain roof heights. The gray solid hatches are the areas that are proposed. So you'll see, again, that south side addition being proposed at 70 feet of height. And you'll see the northeast addition at 28 feet height. In addition, the center portion of the building to the east side will be added in height to 70 feet. It is currently about 38, most of it is currently about 38 feet high. There are different levels back here. So we are proposing those additions. These are elevations of the existing and proposed expansions, and I'm going to show you a little bit better view of these. I understand that 2D can sometimes be a little confusing, especially in this kind of varied roof level situation we're going to see. Give it a second again to kind of load. Okay, so you did see in the first slide I showed you on this new sheet called Existing Site, dated August 14th, 2025. What we are proposing to do is shown on the second page. It's called R101. Sorry, these are large kind of photo files. Okay, so here's the existing building and here's the expansion. So you can see that most of the expansion is going to be at that 70 foot height. To aesthetically kind of tie everything together, again, nobody's going to see that from an aerial bird's eye view. They're going to see something like this. And even this is kind of an exaggerated view since nobody's really going to be in the trees when they're looking at the building. But just to give you an idea of what the expanse of the building will look like. Again, this is all quoted as sheet R102. And we're showing, again, the existing building up to about this line is where it's existing. And then we're going to, this is where that, I think, south side expansion is going to be. So to kind of address some of the questions in the reports and that were kind of asked today, I'll go into first I'll answer the signage question. There are no building signs proposed. There are no new building signs proposed. As Vishnu was kind of referring to, we have building signage already at the front entrance. And that will remain the front entrance. And as this is all one building, there is no need for new signage. To get into the material palette, a lot of these materials were selected to complement what's already there. So when we did the alteration in 2017 to 2021, that kind of period of time where MSN was renovating this, and then they changed the facade a bit, we added a modernized Nichiha panel, which is kind of shown here. It's a brick looking panel, but it's made out of fiber cement. We're going to just extend that throughout the facade. And we also had these aluminum composite panels bordering the top. We're going to extend that as well to the end, to the south end. So those are all, we have the existing material palette that we used back at that renovation. We're going to continue that to kind of tie the building together. And the rest of the building is actually going to be, again, Nichiha panel on the bottom or base. And then there are two different aluminum composite panels that will be used. One will be sort of a Kingspan blue, which is what we're calling Chicago blue in a Benjamin Moore color. And the other will be a gray. That is the clear mica that you see right here. These are just like the existing, these are the two existing colors that are on the building currently. And then the white looking border is actually a light gray called alabaster. So these are actual colors and actual manufacturers that will match and complement what is already at the existing building. So I think I hope I've satisfied, I think, the material question. If there's any specific question to that, I can certainly go further.
Before we go into those questions, Ms. Shaw, can you just address the comment about rooftop mechanical equipment?
Yes, absolutely. So the rooftop mechanical of the existing building, I'll just show you where it is. And fortunately, the addition is actually going to cover a lot of that. So in the 2021, let's say, renovation, we had a lot of rooftop equipment that was added on this side of the building. Now that you see that we're going to kind of add the portion to the south of the building, that will be screened naturally because of the building. And I'll show you that in a second. So that rooftop mechanical, it's not shown here or depicted here, but it will stay. It will be existing to remain. It will just be screened by this. So now 287 has no chance of seeing it. They can't see it now anyways. The added portions of the building, which are storage, basically warehouse functions, they're not particularly complex or need any type of special mechanical attention. So they don't need like to maintain a certain temperature or maintain a certain humidity or anything like that. So really what we're talking about are regular, small, independent units that you see on everyday warehouses. It's just to maintain comfort for the people who are working inside the warehouse. So there are these like small DX units, what we call, that will sit on top of the roof. And they are going to be somewhat centered. So you won't, again, see them from the roofline. Anyway, by code, they need to be a certain number of feet from the edge. So there will not be any type of vision to them, as well as any need for screening of those.
Understood. Thank you, Ms. Shaw. I have no further questions of Ms. Shaw, if the board or the professionals do.
Yeah, I was wondering if Jonathan wanted to address anything. It would be great.
I can get started. Ms. Shaw, have you done a cross-section through the highway to the proposed addition? Do you have that topo in your model?
We don't have it in the model, but I believe that would be the next step. I know that there would be a sort of a grading plan done by our site engineer, and certainly that would be a nice.
Yeah, because I think of a visual impact assessment from a driver on the road. I mean, we're talking, it's like 200 feet from the drive aisle of 287. So a 70-foot tall structure is definitely going to be within the view shed. I know the picture you took is kind of from ground level on the side, which is a little bit different. So I think I'd want to see either a cross section or a rendering taken from 287 looking at the building. It's also, if there's any consideration to swapping the blue with the gray, kind of taking having it almost camouflage it, tricking the eye, thinking that it's more sky than building. But I don't know if there's anything else we could do to visually pare this down.
That's a great point, Jonathan. Actually, we did it this way to kind of neutralize it as it goes up, believe it or not. So I believe that this may actually stick out less if the color is towards the bottom, if that makes sense. So that was a consideration, if that matters.
It does. Thank you.
I do. We're happy to do a rendering from 287. But I do know that there's really no chance that they're going to see anything. There's a whole tree line on that side if you kind of see it from. Now I don't know what the size of the trees are. We can definitely look into that. But as you can see, like there's a natural, it's a beautiful natural screen that will prevent really anything. And they're evergreen coniferous, so I don't think they would be seen from.
And I did have the applicant in last year for removing a bunch of trees. They're not in the best health and it's fairly mature. So I wouldn't be surprised if more of those trees are on their way out. So that's why I'm asking.
That's a good point.
I'd like to jump in on this comment with, I agree with Jonathan. I mean, we all go up and down 287 multiple times a day, some of us. And you can see a lot of these buildings all along 287. So this is going to be one of the bigger buildings in that corridor. And the coloring system, to me, needs to try to minimize the scale of this building as opposed to emphasizing it. And I think the blue color does emphasize the scale of this building as opposed to minimize.
Okay.
But I think the gist of this is, what is the impact to the 287 corridor as you go along, and we don't have that cut, right?
If it does please the board, we can work with the architect and also the applicant and try to get a rendering so it's a more visual exhibit to show the visual impact from 287, if that would satisfy the board.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be appreciated.
Yeah, to be candid, a jump from 50 feet to 70 feet is not insignificant. I mean, there's no question that Piscataway Master Plan speaks to its economic base and encourage expansion, retention, et cetera, but there has to be a balance to that.
Understood. And we absolutely will try to provide all the exhibits that are being requested by both Mr. Chadwick and Mr. Misrati.
Yeah. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I do, Sean. I look around the property. I don't see any hydrants. What is it with fire suppression around here?
I would defer that question to our engineer, if Robert can come back.
Hi. So I did do a site visit earlier today, and I did identify that there is a fire hydrant near Duke Road.
There's only one hydrant?
I can, if you give me a moment, maybe after someone else presents, I can check our plan to see where the nearest hydrant is on site besides the hydrant on Duke Road.
Okay, why don't, David, why don't you proceed with your next professional and we can double back to Mr. Murray.
Will do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My next witness is Mr. John Ray from McDonough and Ray Associates. He is our traffic engineer, if the board can swear him in.
Mr. Ray.
I lost the audio.
No, you there.
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
You swear that the testimony about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
John Ray, REA. I'm a principal with McDonough and Ray Associates, a traffic engineering firm, 1431 Lakewood Road, Manasquan, New Jersey.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Ray has been accepted as a traffic engineer expert for this board on prior occasions.
I agree. Please proceed, Mr. Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally.
Mr. Ray, if you can please go through the parking and the traffic study that you presented, we submitted to the board as well.
Sure. My primary job this evening is to justify the parking variance. I've made several visits to the site to establish the existing parking demand for the first shift. As Vishnu indicated during his initial testimony, there are approximately 110 employees. I don't think they all work on the first shift. The bottom line is the parking observations I made during the first shift revealed a demand of 80 to 85 parked vehicles. We are going to add 30 additional employees with the project if it is approved. And if they all work on the first shift, that will bring the parking demand up to approximately 115, maybe 120 parking spaces. 206 spaces are proposed. So therefore, we meet the actual parking demand and we exceed it, and we will have a healthy surplus of parking spaces. Other than that, I've just reviewed the access to the property, which as it currently exists. We've got great access to 287 from to and from the west via Possumtown Road, to and from the east via Old New Brunswick Road. Great location for this property and for this operation, as Vishnu has indicated. But primarily, my job was to justify the parking variance.
Okay.
I have no further questions for Mr. Ray. If the board or the board professionals have any questions.
Jonathan, you want to jump in, sir?
The only comment I have for Mr. Ray is, have you given, we've been discussing the truck circulation. Do you have any comments regarding that?
I concur with your comments and Ms. Dolan's comments. And I think Mr. Murray and I will work on that and prepare the truck turning radius templates and provide them to you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Any other members have any more questions for this?
Mr. Chairman, just to comment that I also visited the site. I concur with the findings on the parking. We also ran ITE parking. The board knows that the ordinance requires the calculation for the individual use components, and that, in my opinion, is an over-exaggeration. I do believe, as Mr. Ray said, there will be a healthy surplus with the renovation, more than would be required for this particular user and more than the ITE anticipated demand.
Thank you, Betsy.
You're welcome.
Mr. Murray, do you have any more information about the fire hydrants?
Yes. So looking at the site plan, there is a hydrant on the Duke Road frontage. There is a hydrant on the freeway drive frontage. There's a hydrant on the north of the building. And there's a hydrant on the west side of the building.
Okay. Okay.
Did you hear that, Artie?
Yes. Thank you.
Sounds like there's four on the site. Thank you, Mr. Murray. Mr. Prasad, please proceed.
For my final witness tonight, I have our professional planner, Justin Osiello. It was supposed to be Ms. Caffone. Justin is from Caffone Consulting Group. So he will be doing the professional planning testimony if the board can swear him in.
Are you present, Mr.?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Justin Osiello, AUCIELLO, 52 Reckless Place, Red Bank, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Osiello, can you please give the board the benefits of your credentials, and is your license current and in good standing?
Absolutely. So I have a master's degree from Rutgers. I've been a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey since 2008. I provided testimony in front of this board and the planning board in the past. My license is current and in good standing. I've provided testimony in approximately 200 municipalities.
I think we're good, Justin.
Thank you,
Mr. Cahill. Mr. Osiello, if you can please do your analysis for the D6 height variance, and also if you can address the other bulk variances for off-street parking and loading berths.
Yes, absolutely. So the D6 height variance, that's covered under the Grasso case. That's Grasso versus Spring Lake Heights. And that's essentially the same standard of relief as a conditional use. In this instance, it's showing that the site can accommodate the excess height, even though, of course, there's the exceeding of the height in the L15 zone. The L15 zone industrial district does anticipate large scale industrial buildings. And I think it's important to kind of set the context up front that this is the industrial district. This is an area that's right along Route 287. This is an area that has industrial surroundings. Mr. Chadwick, in his letter, did state that the site is located in the industrial section of the township. And he went on to say that the building is remote to any residential use. So from a planning standpoint, what that tells me, not just from Mr. Chadwick's letter, but from my knowledge of the area and my review of the site on foot, this is a height that from a planning standpoint does meet the purpose and the spirit of the LI5 zone. I think as you heard from our site engineer and from the architect, the site can accommodate this height despite the fact that the variance relief is required. As you heard from the operator, the height variance is driven by the operational requirements of the use. It does enable the vertical storage of the use. And what's important here, as was previously stated, that this reduces, since it's vertical, obviously that reduces the expansion of the building footprint, that eliminates the need for any new disturbance of land. And then, of course, that eliminates any need to expand or to increase the impervious coverage. So that's the functional necessity. And with that, with going vertical, that of course has no impact on the setbacks and the buffering. Again, this is located along Route 287. I know there were some questions that were asked by the board professionals earlier about the location and any visual impacts. I believe the applicant has stated, or the applicant's professionals has stated, that new exhibits will be provided to prove that there is no negative impact. In terms of the positive criteria for the height variance, it's my professional opinion that this application would advance criteria A, the promotion of the general welfare. And from that, it's the advancement of commerce in the township. Criteria G, which speaks to sufficient space and appropriate locations to accommodate. There is sufficient space, as you heard from the professionals. Again, this is going vertical. It's inappropriate location. We're not here for a D1 use variance. The LI5 zone anticipates this type of use. And criteria H, free flow of traffic, that really goes to the parking variance. But still, I would say that with the vertical expansion, there is no impact there. And this application as a whole will advance the free flow of traffic. In terms of the negative criteria for the D6 variance, from a planning standpoint, I certainly see no substantial detriment to public good, no negative shadowing or glare that's associated with this application. The applicant has agreed to go lights out at the appropriate hours. Substantial negative impact to the zone plan, the zoning ordinance. Zoning ordinance, as I had previously stated, does permit this use, and this is a use that certainly advances the master plan policies for business promotion and the advancement of these industrial uses. In terms of the parking variance, you did hear from Mr. Ray, who had testified that his analysis showed that the parking is sufficient on the site. In terms of the drive aisle width as well, I believe Mr. Ray had testified that that his testimony was limited mostly to the parking, but I believe he did state it. He did say that that he found that the width was appropriate, and I believe the loading berth variance is a pre-existing non-conforming use, which again will have no negative impact to the function of the site. Again, it's a vertical expansion. So I think the positive and negative criteria that was stated for the D6 variance can apply to the C variance relief that is required as well.
Mr. Osceola, if I just can ask you one question. We are increasing the number of loading berths to make it more conforming. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's more conforming, so it's a better situation than currently exists, and that certainly is a benefit to the site and also the zone plan as well.
Thank you, Mr. Osceola. I have no further questions for Mr. Osceola. If the board of the professionals would have any questions.
Any members of the board have any questions or comments?
I just have one quick question. Did you make any kind of a survey of 287 as to what the highest buildings are along that roadway?
Mr. Chadwick, I did not personally do that. I would defer over to any members of the team if anyone has that.
Do you have any idea, or any of the team, your team members, what the height of the hotels are?
Oh, we don't have any survey information outside of our site.
Okay.
So we do not have that information.
I mean, I would think it would be beneficial to know that height as a comparison to what you're proposing, and that you are not out of character, but we don't know.
No, John, I agree. And based on the fact that we're going to be asking for, so far, three new items for them to produce for us, I would ask that they could provide that for the next meeting when we will probably vote on this.
I mean, to be candid, we've got other buildings that are higher than 50 feet. And to what degree do they alter the roadscape of 287? It's right there. I mean, we're absent that. So I agree with Chairman Cahill. You know, there's a couple of things outstanding that are probably best to produce.
Understood, Mr. Chadwick. And as Mr. Cahill just mentioned, there are a few things that would help the board and the board professionals feel more comfortable with this application. So we will gladly provide those items. I've taken notes so I can make sure that we get them all submitted.
Is a month from now too soon?
I will ask the professionals if that's enough time for them to generate these. Does anyone have any objection for the next hearing next month?
Laura, what day would that be? September 25th, Mr. Prasad? Could you ask your professionals?
Mr. Murray, Ms. Shaw, if that's doable for September 25th.
That's doable.
Ms. Shaw, if that's okay with you as well?
I will not be available personally, but somebody from my firm will be. And we can definitely produce the rendering for that time.
Perfect. I think we can agree to September 25th.
Awesome. All right, let's move on that then.
All right. So should I know the end of the hearing?
Yes.
Yes, that concludes our testimony, and we will generate these and get them submitted to the board for review.
Okay. Anyone here on the MSN Pharmaceuticals hearing? It is going to be carried to September 25th with no further notice by the applicant. The only notice you're receiving is my announcement here tonight. There will be additional items considered by the board at that time, and it will be opened to the public for their comment at that time. Thank you.
Thank you, Devin. Before we proceed, I would ask that if any of the board members have an opportunity to go out to the site to get a personal line of sight on the height of the proposed height, you know, it would be probably in our best interest if you could get out there between the next month and get a feel for the area. All right, so let's move on to item number 23, and that's 25-ZB-37/38V, Chanel Inc.
Good evening. My name is Lindsay Knight, and I am Managing Counsel Real Estate for Chanel.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please proceed.
Thank you. We are here tonight with respect to our property at 876 Centennial Avenue. We are requesting to install a fence on the property for security purposes. We unfortunately have had multiple instances of unauthorized persons accessing the property after hours, including large groups of cars that are doing burnouts in the parking lot. We have people who have been using our EV chargers who are not authorized, as well as people who are sleeping in the parking lot. So obviously this is a security concern for us as well, for our employees, as well as for the general public. So installing this fence would permit us to be able to close the property off from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
So that would, this would allow us to close the property off from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Monday through Saturday and all day on Sunday. So accordingly, we are requesting two variances. First from 21619.2 to permit a portion of the fence to be located within an easement. And the second is from 21-601 to permit an 8-foot high fence. We are in receipt of both the staff report dated August 6, 2025, and the report from Mr. Chadwick dated August 14th, 2025. I saw there were some items noted therein for discussion. So please let us know how you would like to proceed.
Jonathan first, I guess.
Gladly. Miss Knight, could you help clarify where the picket style fence is being proposed?
Yes, I'm actually going to ask Anton Williams from our asset protection group to share the survey and walk through that.
Perfect, thank you.
Do I need to swear him in?
Yes.
Ms. Knight, does he have to be sworn in?
Yes.
Mr. Williams, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony about the gift should be the truth?
Yes.
Could you just identify yourself by name and your position?
It's Anton Williams. I'm the Director of Asset Protection in our corporate space.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. Share my screen. Okay, this is our print. And let's see. Oh, yeah, share. There you go. All right, this is our print. And let me just zoom in here just so you get an idea where Centennial Ave is and on the corner of Centennial and Knightsbridge. The fence, which will be our steel fence, will be this part here with the X's, and it will run adjacent to the building on top of our berm, all the way into the entrance of the building where the trucks go in. And then the fence will turn into the parking area, and this particular area here will be a closed fence that will close the property, so that if a truck does happen to pull off or into that particular space, the truck will clear the roadway. Here is where the fence, another fence, will block the parking area for our employees, and it will run against the inside of the berm to the rear of the parking area. And then that's when a chain link fence will run into the back space behind the parking area, hugging the parking area until we get to, bear with me here, till we get to the end here where Fitz Randolph would be. The chain link will continue to the entrance on Fitz Randolph, where we'll have a double side swing gate. And then that fence will connect into our secondary parking space, where there will be a sliding fence and then another chain link fence that will touch the back of the building. And this particular fence will protect that parking lot where we have incidents.
Does that answer your question, Jonathan?
Yes, that's helpful. So understanding that that fence along Knightsbridge with the spikes is going to be more of a visual deterrent, correct?
Yes.
Well, yeah. So I think the spikes have to be revised. It's just not, it's not permissible. So there is, just for the board's awareness, there is landscaping on that berm along Knightsbridge Road. So if we were to remove the spikes, I would be open to the, I'd be open to the height allowance. However, the fiber optic would also have to be installed along the front edge, as we're requesting with applications of this kind on commercial properties. And then I also have some concerns about the location of the fence relative to the sanitary easement, as well as the flood zone. So the sanitary easement, you're well inside that easement, especially, yeah, there you're just kind of on the corner, but further to the side. Yeah, so you're well into the easement area there. I'm just worried about our underground structures that the town maintains. So full underground markout would be required prior to the installation of the fence. And if the fence does need to deviate from the plan to avoid any underground structures, I would request that they either come back before the board if it's significant, or a new layout would have to be proposed and approved prior to the fence installation. And I'd also request a memorandum of restriction in case we do need to access any of those underground sanitary improvements if the fence gets installed.
Ms. Knight, is the applicant willing to agree to all of that?
I would actually appreciate if we could have a little more information on the fiber optic. This was the first we learned of this request today, so I'd like to understand a little bit more about that process.
Sure. So the fiber optic conduit would be 2 4-inch PVC lines along the front edges along Knightsbridge Road, as well as Centennial. They're for township use, and a lateral would be required to be run from the dual conduit to the front edge of the building. So with it being two faces, I think you'd likely do the lateral along Centennial. That would be again for township use in the future. We're just trying to get fiber optic set up around town.
And is that something that then connects into an existing system?
We're creating that system. So we'll connect into neighboring properties as they improve their lots as well.
Okay.
This facility has been, Jonathan, probably 5-6 years now, or longer than that? The fiber optic policy.
2 years at most, I believe.
But it's been in operation then for full 2 years. So all of the businesses in town are doing this type of facility. It's obviously looking to the future.
I think it's been longer than 2 years. I think they've been
implemented
around five, yeah, before COVID. I know that.
Yep.
So I think it's longer than that, but it's SOP now when it comes to approvals here.
I'd just like to clarify the issue of spikes on top of the decorative fence. I'm in favor of the decorative fence. I think it adds something to the site. Jonathan, what were you thinking? Did you just cut them off flat on the rail, or?
Well,
a different terminus on it. I mean,
I had
one in front of one of my houses. They had like a little hearts on the top. I mean, you couldn't, they're purely architectural.
There's no reason why the rail, the top rail, that can't just be moved up and it would cover the spikes and the top rail would just run along the top of the fence.
I would rather see it project and put some kind of an architectural closure on the end. I just don't think it would look correct with just those rails coming up to a cross piece. Are you, Lindsay, okay with that in terms of putting on? I tried to get a hold of your fence manufacturer and I wasn't unable to on two occasions. So I would think this manufacturer that submitted all the specs, the various types of fences, can come up with something that is decorative and not dangerous.
Yes, Mr. Chadwick. Anthony Pagano is actually on the call with us tonight. Anthony, would you be able to respond to this request?
Yes, absolutely.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Anthony Pagano, Statewide Fence, 651 South Avenue, Garwood, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Yeah, in terms of options for the flush, for the horizontal top rail on the ornamental fence, it can be, we can do a flush top rail, or we could have the standard pressed point. The standard pressed point for, you know, an aluminum or a steel fence is not, not typically a hazard concern, as you stated, John.
You don't have anything that can mimic some of the old wrought iron fences where the rails were had some, generally some kind of a, almost heart-shaped top to them.
Right. So yeah, it's a pressed point picket. So when they actually crush the end of the tubular material, it creates that point. And then it's obviously.
Your answer is no, then you don't have anything that you can attach to it.
Well, there's a few different options, but flush top would be the standard for, say, like a playground fence.
I would prefer to see a flush top or.
Well, I'm not getting a good answer. I agree with you, Jonathan. Yeah, I think it would look better if it could be done the way I was talking, but. Let's not go any further. We beat this to death.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Okay.
John, you good, Jonathan?
Yeah, if they agree to the fiber optic, memorandum of restriction, revising the fence, I'm okay.
Yes, we can agree to that. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Lindsay, that was your last... professional?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing nothing from the board, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion and I'd make a motion to approve this application with the restrictions that Jonathan just gave.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Sorry, Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a good night.
All right, take care. Let's move on to item number 24, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of July 10th, 2025.
Mr. Chairman, before we proceed, is Heather Pham present on the call?
Oh, I forgot.
Laura, do we see her?
No, there's no one.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me there, John.
Can we move them to the September 18th meeting?
So anybody here, we're going to carry this to September 18th with no further notice.
Thank you.
Proceed, Jim.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Good catch.
Cassie Uden, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next, Omar Hagaba, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Mr. Yes.
Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Edith Sproul, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Eric Pekansky, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Richard Tron, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Amanda Miskoff, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Griselda Garcia, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
James Byro, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Finally, Gindo JL Auto Repair, would you vote to approve? Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Arreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Heyduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have tonight.
Okay, item number 25, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of July 10, 2025. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Item number 26, adjournment. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, guys, enjoy the rest of what's left of the summer.
Yes. In September.
Laura.